This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyihi al-Kareem. Alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu taslim. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today is Wednesday, April 14th, 2021, and it is the second day of the month of Ramadan for the year 1442 of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina al-Munawwara. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we will continue with our 30 in 30, an interesting, very, very interesting title. Subhanallah. I started this class a number of years ago. It was June 17th, 2015 was the first time that I started the 30 and 30. I titled it 30 and 30, and it seems like a lot of other people are calling theirs 30 and 30 or 30 for 40, 30 for 30. So it's a title that's kicked off, alhamdulillah. It's good to see that a lot of people are teaching it. I've noticed that a lot of imams are teaching 30 juz in 30 days as well. So they're going over some lessons of the Quran. And that's a really good thing to see, that many of us are connecting more with the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah ta'ala, as I mentioned, we're going to look at the second juz of the Quran, which is the second part of the Quran. The Quran has 114 chapters, but we're going to look at the second part. So the Quran is broken down into 30 parts. For those who are new to Islam, this is why we throw some little bits and pieces of information in there for you, or people who are interested in Islam that may not know too much about the Quran. I know for Muslims in general, we know that the Quran is broken up into 30 parts, and we know that the Quran has 114 chapters. But we have to keep in mind as well that there are always people who are learning and children who are learning as well, who may be attending these classes, and therefore it is good for them to also benefit from the knowledge that every single one of us might already have. So we're going to skip to verse number 152 of Surah Al-Baqarah. 152 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And over here you notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Remember me, I will remember you, and thank me, and never be ungrateful. So first off, the very first lesson that we learned for today is to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through remembering Him, right? So remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will remember us. The more that we say the name of Allah on our tongues, the more that we say subhanallah, the more that we say Allahu Akbar, the more that we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify Him, we notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near and will always give us things that we need in our lives and will always be there for us, whether we receive it now or we receive it at a later point in time in life or we get it in the hereafter. And this is a reminder that I'll be sharing tonight, inshallah ta'ala, with the masjid or the entire congregation as we move forward. The importance of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. Just forgive me for the movements there in the camera. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, be thankful to me and never be ungrateful. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never be ungrateful to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so many things. And you know, when you think of the food that we're about to eat in an hour from now, or just under an hour from now, you know, the foods that we take for granted all the time, I'm pretty sure right now you would enjoy a single strawberry. And you would enjoy that strawberry more than any other time that you've enjoyed strawberries in your life. I'm sure right now you may enjoy a single bite from an apple. Alhamdulillah. So juicy, so nice, so fresh, right? Amazing apple. Or a bite out of a banana. You peel the banana and you bite it. Allahu Akbar. So nice, so smooth, right? We would enjoy these things right now because we're fasting. And when we really think about it, it's a times when we don't have that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. This is a common theme that you will see throughout the Quran, and you will hear over and over as we're going to go through, you know, certain things or topics related to the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us to be thankful to Him and don't be ungrateful. Don't be ungrateful. Don't be ignorant of the fact that what we have comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then He reminds us of a powerful lesson that we always remind ourselves about, and we have to continue to remind ourselves about. I sort of touched upon this yesterday, very indirectly. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me just quickly check something here, okay. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 153,
Ya ayyuha alladhina آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to the believers and He says, O believers, seek comfort in patience and prayer. Seek comfort in patience and prayer. And you know what's interesting? Is that the prayer allows us to find patience. When we pray our prayers, we find that we become more calm. We find that we've connected with Allah more. We find that we feel more at ease in our heart, in our mind. And we are more at peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, isti'inu bis sabri was salah. Seek comfort in patience and in prayer, in salah. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah is truly with those who are patient. He then touches upon the fact that the ones who died as shaheed, people who died, and there are multiple categories or multiple, you know, times when a person can pass away and they are considered a shaheed. For example, someone who dies of, you know, like this plague that we may be experiencing, this pandemic, you know, someone whose life is taken with, you know, full health, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent something that spreads and they return to Allah, or someone who has some sort of illness, you know, within their stomach, or someone who, you know, dies suddenly for some reason. There are multiple different things that we learn in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to someone who is considered a shaheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, those who died as a shaheed, as a martyr, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't consider them to be dead, for in fact they are alive. But you do not perceive it. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's tested us. And He's tested us in multiple different ways, no doubt. But there are certain things that He points out. He says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's going to test us in multiple ways. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly test you with a touch of fear and famine and loss of property. We may experience hunger. We're experiencing it right now, right, as we're fasting. But this is not extreme hunger. There are some people who don't go, there are some people who go days, up to a month, sometimes even without food. They may have some water. They may have a little, you know, spares of grain and bread, but they don't eat food for so many days on end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's going to test us with fear. And there are times in life that we feel scared. There are times in life that we really feel scared. SubhanAllah, people come into my office and they just start to bawl out. They just start to cry. They're scared. They fear for their family, for their future. They're scared for things that are going on around them. They're scared for, you know, their children. They're scared for their family. They're scared for human beings. They just feel this sense of anxiety within them. And that, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that He will test us with fear, with famine. We see human beings on earth being tested, and that's why it's our responsibility to make sure that we do our part to help all of the human beings that are going through hardships and difficulty, to take them out of the hardships of this world, and to show them that Allah provides, and to help them to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says that He will test us with fear. He will test us with famine. He will test us with a loss of property. Sometimes we lose the things that we have. We lose the things that we cherish so much. It may be the loss of a family member, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Loss of property, loss of life, loss of crops or wealth that we have, that we possess. He then says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And give good news. Good news to those who patiently endure the tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are these people? Who are these people who endure the tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who go through hardship? When things become really difficult, who are the people who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and push through, plowing through those hardships, persevering when others will fail? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبًا. Those who, when are faced with a disaster, with a problem, with major issues, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, surely to Allah we belong, and to Him we will all return. Every single one of us belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every single one of us will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was saying this yesterday, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I pointed out the fact that we will return to Allah. Every one of us goes through stages in life, and we realize at that point in time, it's too late. Subhanallah, I saw this really interesting video earlier today, and I don't know where it showed up, to be honest. It just popped up, and I've been trying to stay off my phone for the day because you remember yesterday I was mentioning to you that I wasn't, you know, was feeling like, subhanAllah, it just hit me really hard at the end, the later part of the day. Exhaustion, hunger, and so on. And it's not like hunger from a day, but subhanAllah, just from pushing myself over the last few days, you know, I just felt really, really nauseous, especially throughout the session. And I was telling, you know, I messaged one of the students who might be watching right now, Zaina, a girl who's in the hospital, who, alhamdulillah, is recovering from, you know, her treatment that she's going through. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure her. The granddaughter of a very dear friend of mine and the niece of quite a few friends of mine, you know, I thought of her yesterday. I was feeling nauseous. I thought to myself, subhanAllah, there are children out there who are going through chemotherapy, who feel nauseous, who feel difficulty, who feel hardship every single day. They don't have a home, as in they did not live old enough, you know, long enough to be able to amass a certain amount of wealth to buy a home. They don't have a car. They're not even old enough to finish high school yet, right? They're, subhanAllah, still young. Another example was Abdul Alim, a boy in our community, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him cure and ease, who you know, underwent a series of treatments already, and subhanAllah is still undergoing, you know, treatment and trying to recover from this illness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought upon him. We see, my brothers and sisters, that there are young children who are going through extreme hardship. And then we think to ourselves, who am I to complain? And that's what really pushed me through yesterday's class. And I'll admit it and say it publicly, that it was these two young children who I know of, who are in the hospital or, you know, at home, recovering in a condition where they're still very fragile. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it pop into my mind yesterday to keep pushing through. And when I got off yesterday, my wife and children are my witness, I was just done. Like, I had no more energy. I didn't even feel like eating. Iftar time came and I ate a date, and my wife's like, eat another one. I'm like, I'm good. And I drank some water. She's like, eat some more. I'm like, I'm good. I just didn't want to see the food. I was feeling nauseous. And that's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's those who are younger that encourage those of us who are older to sometimes push through, because they remind us that we should say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We will all return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so no matter how young or how old we are, we need to just push through the hardship. Trust that Allah will take us through this stage of our life. So for those of you who may be old, those of you who may be young, who are suffering, struggling, going through some sort of hardship, some kind of illness, be strong, stand strong, and say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That does not mean, my brothers and sisters, that a person is about to die. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse right before it, the verses before it, He says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. We will test you with things that you're scared of going through. We will test you with famine. We will test you with loss of life and loss of property, loss of wealth and loss of crops. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give good news, glad tidings to those who push through those hardships. Who are these people? Allah says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. Those who are going through these hardships, they've been affected by some kind of difficulty. They say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. As a reminder that I will submit to Allah in this test that I'm going through, that it came from Him and it can and will be removed by Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate us in rank, in status, through patience and perseverance and prayer, begging and crying out to Allah in our dua for healing, for cure, for safety, for protection, for food, for, you know, drink, water, for medical assistance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for us. He then says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, they are the ones who will receive Allah's blessings and mercy. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. They are the ones who receive Allah's blessings and Allah's mercy. Who are they? They are the people who push through the hardship. Say inna lillah. They remind themselves that we belong to Allah, and this hardship we're going through belongs to Allah as well. As in, He brought this hardship. He took the car away. He took the food away. He brought the heat and no rain. He brought the rain and no sunshine. He made the earth absorb the water or not. It is all from Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Upon those people are the blessings and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And they are the ones who are rightly guided. Why? Because no matter what they're faced with in life, they will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will beg from Him. And no matter what they are given from Allah, they accept. They accept.
Subhanallah. My brothers and sisters, I told you about a young boy, Abdul Halim, who is not doing so well. His health is still, you know, he's struggling with it. Look at how a young boy, at the age of 13 and 14, he completed his memorization of the Quran while receiving chemotherapy and treatment for his illness. At the age of 13 and 14, memorized the entire Quran while receiving treatment for an illness that came from Allah. If that is not a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings and mercy, then what is? How many of us wish and dream to memorize the Quran? How many of us cry in dua, begging Allah, Ya Allah, make it easy for me? And we don't take that first step. We never ever take the Quran and Mus'haf, open it up and say, from today onwards, I'm dedicating my time and my energy to the Quran, to memorizing it and retaining it and preserving it. Being from amongst those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the one who revealed the Quran and brought it down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Jibreel alayhi salam. Right? We know that story very well. Wa inna lahu lahafizun. And it is Allah who preserves the Quran. And if someone has been blessed with the ability to preserve the Quran within themselves, then that is a blessing from Allah. It's a blessing from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you to preserve it. Even if a person preserves the Quran for a day, they are written from amongst those who will recite on the Day of Judgment, who will be elevated in status due to their recitation. Those who felt Allah dear to them and sacrificed their childhood, sacrificed the fun times, sacrificed the, you know, the iPads and the video games and the PlayStations and the Xboxes, sacrificed work, sacrificed school, sacrificed other things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we admire them. You could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be an engineer, chief construction engineer, you could be, you know, the CEO, you could be the richest, most wealthiest person on the face of this earth. But if you haven't memorized the Quran, you will see a little boy and a little girl who are hafiz and hafiz of the Quran. And you will cherish them. You will admire them. And we would give the money and wealth that Allah has given to us to be a hafiz of the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who chooses who will receive that Quran and preserve it within them. We move on, my brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make every single one of us from amongst those who preserve the Quran and who have the strength and ability to pick it up, to recite it, and to memorize as much as we can from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's move to verse number 204 to 207. In verse number 204, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلِ والله لا يحب الفساد وإذا قيل له اتق الله أخذته العزة بالإثم فحسبه جهنم
جهنم ولبئس المهاد ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله والله رؤوف بالعباد.
My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 204, and here he's showing us an example or reminding us to beware of being a hypocrite and being upset when told to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, there are some hypocrites, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, some people, right? And these people are hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about them. There are some hypocrites who impress you with their views regarding worldly affairs and openly call upon Allah to witness what is in their hearts. Yet they are your worst adversaries. وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ, and when you leave, when they leave you, they strive throughout the land to spread mischief and destroy crops and cattle. Allah does not like mischief. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ, and they are those who dedicate their lives to Allah's pleasure. And Allah is ever gracious. Sorry, wrong verse. I was reading the wrong verse. When it is said to them, fear Allah, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, when it is said to them, fear Allah, pride, arrogance carries them off to sin. Hell, Jahannam, will be their proper place. What an evil place to rest. And there are those who would dedicate their lives to Allah's pleasure. And Allah is ever gracious to His servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here that there are some who will work really hard to prove their points and to also in the process destroy this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating that when you remind them to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is wrong, completely wrong. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens to them?
How can you tell me to fear Allah? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I do? Do you know where I come from? Do you know who my parents are? Do you know how much money I have? Do you know this? Do you know that? They become really prideful and arrogant. My brothers and sisters, we need to humble ourselves. Allah can make you the best person of this world in terms of what you think is considered the best. You might think that selling the most houses as a real estate agent, you are the best person. You might think that being the richest and having the most wealth, you are the best person. You might think that you have the best looks because you're always on the front page of a magazine, or there's millions of people following you on Instagram, or there's, you know, billions of people in this world that talk about you and know your name. Good for you. Alhamdulillah. But the moment you're told to remember Allah, Allah? Allah? Why do I have to remember Allah? My brothers and sisters, we see that our society is failing at turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are times when you remind people about Allah and they say, later, not now, buddy, I'm busy. I'm busy making millions. I'm going to become a superstar. I'm going to become famous. I'll become the next prime minister and president. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. What guarantee do you have you will even live to see tomorrow? And that person's place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who are filled with this arrogance, they think that they are better than Allah. They know more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their plan is better than His plan. They are the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Jahannam for.
Jahannam. And he then says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And there are those who would dedicate their lives to Allah's pleasure. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And Allah is ever gracious to His servants. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the best of what He has in store for us in this world as well as in the hereafter. Amen. All right. Let's move to some juicy stuff. Some juicy stuff. What is the juicy stuff? Verse number 221. 221 until verse number 232. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is talking about marriage and divorce. He gives examples of marriage and divorce. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not marry polytheistic women until they believe. My brothers and sisters, we live in a time where it is becoming so much more common. I have not talked about this in the previous years. Now I'm bringing it to the forefront because it's something that's really important and we see it happening more than ever in our society here in North America. How many Muslims, both Muslim men, wanting to marry a mushrika, a woman who is not a believer, but also worships something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And vice versa. Muslim women who are marrying men who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who commit shirk. My brothers and sisters, this is not permitted Islamically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed for us to do this. It is sad to see it happening. And so many times we get calls and emails and messages. Do you know someone who will do the nikah? Because my parents don't want to be part of it. Or we can't find someone who will do the nikah because I'm going to marry so-and-so person who is a mushrik, who's a polytheist, someone who worships idols, someone who worships other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us that we're not allowed to do this. We're not allowed to do this. And I know Muslims sometimes say, but they respect me. They love me. They take care of me. They look after me. First of all, you shouldn't know that. You shouldn't know that. There's always this argument of, oh, but they're better than the Muslim because they're more loving. Really? First of all, that's an offense. I take offense to that. I don't feel that someone who's non-Muslim has every chance of being better than someone who is Muslim. As a Muslim, we have values. As Muslims, we are taught to be respectful. As Muslims, we look after those who don't have food and those who don't have homes. And every single day is a struggle. And it's true. I will give you this example. A brother sent me this message last night, and I didn't think that I was going to use it, but I'll share it with you. If I could remember it clearly off the top of my head, it was something that he translated of a message that he received from someone that said something like, what is it that you get as Muslims from fasting? All you're doing is not eating. And so the Muslim replies and says, no, we're not just not eating. We are also not lying. We're not cheating. We're not stealing. We're not abusing people. We're looking after things. We're giving charity and so on and so forth. So this month of Ramadan, these are the things that we do. And the non-Muslim replied and said, wow, you guys are so lucky. I don't like using the word luck. Those who know me know that I don't use that word, but I'm just saying what was said in the message. As Muslims, we don't use this word luck. There's no such thing as luck. Oh, you're lucky. No, you're not lucky. You're blessed. Luck is a form of putting your trust in something that is coming from somewhere else, not coming from Allah. But a blessing comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're blessed from Allah. You don't have luck, you have blessings. So this person, the non-Muslim, says to the Muslim, oh, you're lucky. You only have to do that stuff for 1 month. We have to do that all the time. Subhanallah. It really makes you think. But the reality is, as Muslims, the month of Ramadan is not just a time that we stay away from doing these things and when Ramadan is over, we go back to doing it. No. The month of Ramadan is a reminder to push us to an even stronger form of who we are. If we sometimes would lie, then Ramadan trains us, don't lie anymore from today onwards. If we were someone who used to sometimes backbite, then Ramadan is reminding us and training us not to backbite anymore. From now onwards, no more. If we used to forget people who don't have food, Ramadan is a reminder, you gotta stop forgetting people who don't have food. Feed others, Allah will feed you. So Ramadan is a time that we turn to Allah. And my brothers and sisters, I'm saying this because as Muslims, our belief is not just to believe in Allah. It extends to good character. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to the topic of marriage, he tells the women, the sisters who live from amongst us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when you're choosing a spouse, choose someone who has good character and choose someone who has deen, Islam, someone who will be conscious of Allah. When you're in an argument, instead of hitting you, they will stop and refrain and hold themselves back for the sake of Allah. When anger and rage fills within them, they will control it for the sake of Allah. When they want to use bad language and just run their tongues at you, they will control it for the sake of Allah. And you notice that they have good character at good times and at bad times, when they're going through hardship, when they're angry, when they're stressed, when things aren't going the way they want them to go, they will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this powerful message that as believers we are to look towards those who we marry as people who connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ فإذا تطهرن فأتوهن من حيث أمركم الله إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين نساؤكم حرث لكم فأتوا حرثكم أنى شئتم وقدموا لأنفسكم واتقوا الله واعلموا أنكم ملاقوه وبشر المؤمنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving advice here. They asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about menstruation. And I know some of you might have children watching, so you'll explain it to them when they get old enough. If you're watching and you're a child and you're wondering, you say, Mama, Baba, what is this? If they say, not now, not now. Figure it out later, inshallah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how to come to our spouses, right? You can read it yourselves in verse number 222. I know when I'm teaching in the masjid and it's adults in front of me, it's a different story. When you're live streaming, there might be some children around, so we leave it at that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the time of purification for a woman. When that time is ready and set, when it's time for you to take your ghusl, you take your ghusl, and you begin your salah, you begin your ibadah, you do things as you were doing previously. And as husband and wife, you can approach each other during that time. As in your halal for each other, your halal for one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not permit for husband and wife to be intimate during that time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He surely loves those who always turn to Him in repentance and those who purify themselves. And so my brothers and sisters, we need to be people that understand that we do what we do for the sake of Allah. And there are times when things become difficult. And we may feel stressed. We may feel confused. We may feel discomfort. We may feel stuck. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that time of ease immediately afterwards. And all of a sudden, all of that anxiety and stress and strain and worry is gone. And so be patient through that struggle. He then says to husbands and wives, your wives are like harth. And I don't like the translation that I'm seeing in front of me. Right? They're like your tilth. They're like what you have, what you sow, what you produce. Your wives are there for you. Right? So approach them consensually as you please. And send forth something good for yourselves. Be mindful of Allah and know that you will meet Him and give good news to the believers. So my brothers and sisters, as husband and wife, be respectful towards each other. Love one another. Care for each other. And at times when you feel like there's no one there, your spouse should be there for you. Right? Your spouse should be there for you. And even if they don't express themselves in the way that you want them to express themselves, look at how they are, the things they do, the places they go. They stay away from haram. They stay away from what's no good. They only go towards goodness. They help you in things around the home. They help you with, you know, the struggles that you're facing in life. They help you with the finances. They help you with the food. They help you with the cooking. Hopefully, not like me. I'm miskeen, right? My wife's going to complain probably as soon as I go down the stairs. You said you're supposed to help with the food. I will when I fire up the barbecue and Ramadan is over and I have some time to do that because I'm online right now. So I have an excuse. Alhamdulillah, I have my excuse. But my brothers and sisters, treat each other with respect. Almost every single day, someone new is reaching out to me with a marriage problem. Almost every single day. Now, we do have problems. But just because someone is reaching out almost every single day doesn't mean that those are problems that end in a divorce. Okay? It doesn't mean that those are problems that end with divorce. They're just problems that people need help to get through, and they get through it and they move on. And so, yes, there are problems, and we will highlight problems. We will talk about them later as well, inshallah ta'ala. But one thing I want you to do for me today, inshallah, is, and my wife suggested this, so I'm going to use it as a suggestion for all of you as well, or I'll use it as something that we'll incorporate in our class. I want you to find a verse. I want you to find a verse in the second juz that mentions taqwa. I'll just say it that way and leave it with you. And tomorrow I will ask you for some of you to share what you found. Which verse in the second juz talks about taqwa? And what is taqwa? Just write it out in a sentence. What is taqwa? And inshallah ta'ala, that's your homework for tonight. So I know it's kind of weird. It's something new. It's a twist. You know, curveball that my wife thought that I should send your way. But it is what it is. And we'll see. The thing that we want to achieve this Ramadan is to learn more about the Quran, but to also do some work to try and instill it in our lives. And the more we work at something, the more we will gain that knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. So that's all that we will cover for today, inshallah. Tomorrow we'll look at the third juz of the Quran and some examples that we can find therein. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to continue to learn
the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, some of you are already writing your answers, but remember, I said, I want you to tell me what taqwa is, but also find a verse in the second juz where taqwa is mentioned, right? So you have some homework there. Don't just write the answer and khalas, you did your homework. Go and find a verse in the second part of the Quran where there is mention of taqwa. جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم. I will see all of you tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your fast and make you from amongst those who enter through the gates of Ar-Rayyan. بارك الله فيكم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.